then let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. Yeah. She's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side, be so fly. Yeah, she's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me A. Yo, 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 what up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, Rob One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week, man. I get up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people. And tonight, I'm going to do the same thing, all right? Because that's what we do each and every week. But what I also do each and every week, I start the show off by giving thanks, right? Thanks to all the people that download the audio version of this platform. Y'all guys are the real MVPs. I'm going to make sure every single week I shout y'all out, right? Because it's very important to make sure that you shout out the people that support you no matter what, because that is a vibe right there. Because trust me, you know, the road to whatever success is, you know how it is, y'all. The people don't always equate your success into about the, you know, the amount of money that you make. That's what makes people feel like something is either successful or not. But for me, I get gratitude out of the fact that the people that I do have on my platform have real stories, and then I was able to help them get their story out. Because for so long, I remember just me on growing up and having so many different things that I was going through, or what, you know, just wanting somebody to hear it or wanting somebody to listen, or when it came down to music and being creative, when it come down to those things, or whenever it came down to being creative with the content, you know, with all the filming and stuff, it's, you want people to check it out, right? You want people to watch, you want people to, you know what I'm saying, hear you. And that's part of it, right? So that's why I say super thank you, man, to all the people who download the audio version of this platform. I definitely appreciate y'all. That's a big fact. Word. Also, what I would like to do is I would like to run through a couple of things, y'all. Y'all know, because I got a guest tonight, man. And my guest story tonight is one of those that we've had a similar cases on the show, similar to what this man has gone through. You know what I mean? Like, yo, whenever we deal with things that are in our community and affects us, no matter what, it always seems like we're more guilty than we are innocent, no matter what the circumstances is, just because of how we look or just because of what we represent, right? That's the saddest part about this story that we're going to talk about tonight, but we're going to get to it. But before we get through that, y'all already know I got to give my shout outs. So all of y'all, again, thank y'all for the downloading of the audio version. And also thank you to everybody who has pushed play on Kill No One Part 1. I definitely appreciate y'all. Y'all are still running the numbers up on that. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. All right, because like I said, we're going to keep dropping this content on y'all. We're going to keep pushing and we're going to keep going. But I just thank all of y'all that's already supporting what we've done already. All right. And with that being said, Kill No One Part 2 has been out for about a month now. And then y'all been supporting that as well. So thank y'all again for Kill No One Part 2. It's on our YouTube page, Team Collective TV. Y'all know what to do. Go out there, check it out. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a thumbs down. I don't know. However you feel, but just go watch it. Leave us a comment, share. Hopefully, y'all leave a thumbs up. You know what I'm saying? But y'all go out there, y'all check it out, and y'all let us know how y'all feel about that. All right. What else? All the businesses out there, or products, you know what I mean, or events. If you guys want to get the word out about what you have going on, y'all hit your boy up, all right? I got an exclusive offer going on for 30 days, right? Or every 30 days. It's up to you, but I'm only locking it in for the first 50 businesses, right? I already got a few businesses already locked in, as y'all know, because I shout them out every week. But also, you know, I'm helping with everything. And I just want y'all to know, man, I go live every week. So that's 4 live shows a week, right? Also, I mean, a month, sorry. I go live 4 times a month, 1 live show every week, right? And then after the show, I drop a new clip each and every day. So within that rotation, your event or your business or your product will be thrown in that mix and it'll roll. So if you guys are interested in that, make sure y'all hit me up. sparkingconversation@gmail.com. Matter of fact, let me put that up there for y'all on the screen so y'all could go ahead and screenshot it or whatever y'all need to do. Hit me up, put it in the subject line, all right? And I got y'all. We'll get y'all in. Put it in the subject line. Say business owner event, $10 a month, whatever. Put that in the subject line, and then I'll get you the information, and we lock you in, and we'll get your promo or your event or whatever you got going on in the mix, all right? Because that's what it's about. That's what this platform is about, all right? So, again, let me give another shout out to everybody who watched the new content that we have, Stormed In. Stormed In is a new piece of content. It is a comedy skit, but it's a series, right? We have a nice amount of episodes, and, you know, I just want y'all to stay locked in to everything that we got going on, right? And make sure that y'all push play, y'all support y'all boy, because we out here, right? We want to make sure that y'all know that, you know, staying creative is the number one thing that we all need to be doing, no matter what your age is or whatever that got, you know, that is right there. All right. Let's do this. Because I got my guests, and I'm going to bring my guests on in a minute. But we got to give y'all this information. I want to go through this because about a good 10 to 12 people hit me today, right? Earlier today, and they asked me because they know that every time I start my show, I go through something, a trending topic or whatever, and I go through what I call my rant. And I, you know, and I talk about things from a different perspective, and I guess people are starting to, you know, pick up on that, and they like that. So I appreciate that too. So, but people have been hitting me up asking me, am I going to talk about what happened in Charlotte? So I thought about it, right? Because, you know, what happened in Charlotte was tragic, and, you know, it was just crazy. The whole scenario, the way they caught it on camera, the way it was situated, all that was just, it was just bananas, right? And my condolences to that young lady too, man. That was really unfortunate. It was crazy. And I seen a lot of people in their perspective on it, right? And they were in there from a perspective talking about, you know, black people need to be tired of the way that, you know, other black people are acting and these things and all that other shit. And I get that. And I understand that too. But I don't know, y'all, for me, and this is just my opinion, right? But like I said, I give y'all my perspective, and it's just from that. It's just my perspective, right? But to me, it don't seem like it was just random, right? Like it was something that he just decided to do at the spur of the moment. Because the guy had an arrest record of having over about 14 or 15 arrests or something like that. I think it was like 14 arrests. This guy's been arrested 14 times. That means he got out 14 times. Got arrested 14 times, got out 14 times. That's number one. Number two, the way that he did it, right? Like, the way he did it, the way he cocked his hand all the way back, the way, to me, it just seemed like he was sent to do, he was sent to do that. And his mission was the first one that he got to, whether it was Caucasian or foreign or whatever that had to be, whatever that specific target was, that my man was going to do that no matter who sat in that seat, no matter who it was. That's what it looked like to me. It don't look like he just randomly felt like, yo, this is what he's going to do. After all the arrests that he ever have arrested for, now he decide to go this far, right? By being arrested and getting out, riding the public transportation and the whole nine, cameras everywhere, and everything got cameras on it, no matter what. Y'all, this, look, I reported a while ago, right, early in this year, about information that came out when Doge was going through all that extra stuff, and they found out just how much money the three-letter agencies, y'all know the three-letter agencies out there, with they, you know, y'all know them, but how much money they was paying informants. Let me say this to y'all, man. Like, yo, it was over $500 million. That they paid to informants. Now, I want y'all to understand something, man. Like, when it comes down to things that happen to people that's considered informants and all these other things, remember, whatever they paying them, right? Like, whatever they paying them, they pay over $500 million throughout. And if y'all don't understand, like, how many people out there are on these payrolls of these people that is telling and putting you in those positions when you think that you low-key and you think that, yo, none of that, man. Or whenever you think that something needs to be done, that they don't have people to fit that description to get it done for it to look like something else. Everyone doesn't want to say that it's race baiting. Okay, you don't have to. But the fact that it happened, the way that it happened, and the way that he did it, and where he did it at, and how many times this man has been arrested, and he's never done nothing like that out of all his arrests. And this time he's trying to figure out how to really go to jail for the rest of his life. Like, this is what he do. He go to jail 14 times, get out 14 times, but he decided that he just want to be in there. I don't know. But to me, he was sent on a mission is what it looks like. Doesn't look like it was just something random that he went to do. And I know for a lot of us, it's hard for us to see anything outside of that because we don't know how much people do when they desperate or how many people be put in certain situations that they got to follow certain orders or how many people's families be in jeopardy or how many people are, I mean, all of these different things or just the fact that being in poverty, what people will do for money. Right? People will lie. They will do all these different things just for money, y'all. And they will put you in a position and put your loved ones in a position. They will lie. They will do all these different things just because somebody gave them something that they always wanted, that they never had before, versus them having the one thing that they always supposed to be born with and die with, and that's dignity and pride. So I'm sorry for that young lady and she lost her life. My condolences to her and her family. I do not want to make it about her. This is not, my opinion is not based on her. What I'm saying to y'all is that we got to see past the veil, y'all. We got to look past what it looks like on the surface. We should know that by everything that's been going down with politics and everything else, that we got to see past whatever that veil is that they showing us. And we need to look at that, y'all. It doesn't look, it looks like he was sent there to do that. It didn't matter which young lady would have sat in that chair or in front of him or next to him. And I know that don't matter because this particular young lady lost her life. So I guess that part don't matter. But the fact that do matter is that there's a lot of people being used to make things look a certain way to get a certain reaction out of a group of people to put us back in this space of being against each other. Only black and white people. And that's why I look like the PSYOP. That's why I look like it was something that just don't seem like it was just some random or he just an act of violence that this guy just felt like he was. No, I mean, he's been arrested 14 times, y'all. Come on, man. You mean to tell me out of all those times he ain't been used for certain things? Like, y'all don't think that? The number one, from our understanding, when it comes down to informants, a lot of times they're able to get informants for cheap because they got caught for something that they don't want to do the time for. So then they turn around and become for a person that works for the state or work for whoever. We see it each and every day. We know that's how it go. So at the end of the day, y'all can't put that past anything that man wasn't sent outside to do that harm, right? But listen, that's my rant, right? Because I want to get into my guest story because we back at it again, y'all. Y'all know that this platform is a platform that I make sure that is open for people to tell their real story. Now, I've had different people on here before who have been wrongly accused of different crimes, right? And they have had to spend at least an enormous amount of time or people that are still incarcerated, right? Who have been able to reach out to me and get their story out. And tonight I have another story, right? Because listen, y'all, it's not just one. And that's why I say that all the time. Whenever you go through something, I know it makes it seem like you're the only one going through it. But I promise y'all, it's not that. It's other people that are being treated like you. And this is why we're supposed to work more together than separate and apart, and all that other stuff that we use, all that corny shit that we use to keep ourselves separated as a group of people. First of all, we got to stop calling ourselves a color that we are not. That's one thing, or identifying as just a color. That's not who we are. That's not what we are. We way more than that. But listen, before I get into all that, because y'all know me, I jump back into some other shit. Let's not do that. Let's get into my guest story, because, like I said, being wrongfully convicted of a crime that you did not commit and you're serving 20 years behind that, y'all, this is time you can't get back. So it's important that when these stories happen, that we give them an outlet, because I know how a lot of people think, y'all. They say that everybody that's incarcerated says they're innocent. But what if a lot of people are? That's the point. Do you think everybody's not? I mean, but listen, we know that that's not the case. So let me bring up the brother Melvin Allen, y'all, because we got to get into his story, y'all. Word. Melvin, what's going on, brother?
Hey, good evening. How you doing, bro?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? I don't think he hear me. Put your headphones. Hold on.
You know, my headphones be blacking out every week. I hate it. Yeah, I can hear you, brother. I can hear you. What's going on, man?
You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah, everything going on swell. Can't complain.
Right. All right, Batman. So let's do this real quick, because we know that, you know, we got to make sure that the people know who you are, and we got to get into your story, man. So please, if you can do me a favor, just introduce yourself to the audience and let them know why you're on the platform this evening.
All right, my name is Melvin Allen. I'm on here this evening through one of my legal consultants, Meg Keller, to tell my story about my incarceration.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about that, man. Let's talk about that. So, you know, where you from, Melvin? Like, where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta.
You're from Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia.
You know, I wanted to make sure that people understand that, the audience get that, because I've had so many different, you know, people on here from Atlanta or in that area that has just been done just wrong, right? So let's get into your story a little bit. What is the story behind Melvin Allen and his wrongful conviction?
Okay, well, back in June of 2005, a crime occurred in DeKalb County. And after that, what happened was, it goes back to Fulton County, 2005. Me and my ex-girlfriend, we was over in Little Five Punts. We was at this, a herb shop, what they sell, herb and food. We was getting food for her sister who just had gastric bypass surgery. And I think a crime had occurred over there. And that was on July the 15th, 2005. So 4 days later, detectives come to her house and they said, they was wanting to know what, you know, because she hadn't got home yet, and said they was investigating a hit and run. So I said, well, okay. I said, well, we had just bought this car, so on June 27th. So I said, that car ain't been no hit and run. So they said, well, it was a black guy driving the car. So the detective said, well, can I take your picture? I said, sure. So he goes in the house. So he took my picture in the living room. I said, you need me to cut the light on? He said, no, you ain't got to cut the light on. So it was kind of odd to me for him to say that. But anyway, they put my picture in a photographic lineup. And then the place that got robbed over there, I think they said it was on North Highland. They, you know, the lady identified me. So I ended up going to trial in 2007. And I ended up being found not guilty, because they said the guy was 6 feet tall, dark skinned black man, broad shoulders. All right. So when Fulton County, the city of Atlanta, you know, with the photographic lineup that they generated, they sent it over to DeKalb County. While I was in Fulton County, I had to make bond. They gave me a bond for $10,000. So I said, 10 dunks. I'm expecting, I said, oh, I thought it was going to be a little higher than that. But I was talking to some guys, and I said, man, $10,000, then they ain't got nothing. So I made bond. Then, they, you know, the Care County put a warrant on me saying a place got robbed over in Care County. Okay. So at first, the detectives over here in Fulton County, they tried to say what happened July the 16th. When I had to go there, because they came to her house on July the 19th of 2005. And then I went down there on July the 21st. They asked me to come down to headquarters and give a statement, because she went prior to me. And they asked her to explain how can her car be, how can she attest to her car being in Fulton County. She said, I can't, because it's been with her. So when I go down on the 21st, they don't put the warrant out on me, saying I don't rob this gift shop. And I said, no, that can't be true. So what he had on told her, it happened July the 16th. I said, no, sir, July the 16th, we was out of town. I got the hotel receipts right here. Then he gonna holler, well, July the 15th. So when he said July the 15th, I said, no, sir, because I was at her, one of the deacon house. We were having a formal dinner, and him, the guy that worked there for him, his wife and his sister-in-law, all of them wrote statements and no, Melvin was with us July the 15th. Y'all saying it happened at 5 o'clock, you know, because we were eating dinner at that time. But that's the case I was found not guilty on. Now, come fast forward to the Care County. I got to the Care County October of 2005. I went to trial May of 2006. So I said, dog, they sure rushing me to trial. But when I first got there, and then I got my discovery, and I went, you know, like I said, had a public defender. And the first thing he came, when he saw me, he looked at me. He said, the state ain't got nothing on you. He said, you're not dark-skinned, because you had two victims, black one and a white one. The black female said it was a dark-skinned black man. White female picked somebody else's picture out. So, mind you, they charged me with an armed robbery. No forensic evidence, no camera, no fingerprints, no weapon, nothing, no money was confiscated from me. So when I went to the motion to suppress, the black female was sitting in the back of the courtroom. I'm the only one in the courtroom, so she don't have the opportunity to look at me again. And that was her, like I say, when she seen the picture, then she, I guess she, you know, want to make sure that she get this in her head. And I think, like I say, I always say it was orchestrated by the DA. She was being coached along because the public defender tried to argue, you know, to the jury, hey, he don't want the courtroom. She already don't see my client. So here I am, you know, then when she, you know, made that positive identification, but the description she gave, she only description they gave, she said a dark-skinned black man. He had a hat on, T-shirt, and some shorts. Then she get a different description. And then she said he had glasses on to give a different description. Then said different clothing that he had on versus what the white female said. She said a black male. So I ended up going to trial in May. Trial started on May the 8th, like 2:30 in the afternoon. It was over with May the 10th, 2:30 in the afternoon. Jury come back and found me guilty at 4:30. And when the DA was asking the question, the black girl said, yeah, I remember him. And then she testified that she seen two photographic lineup versus the white female only seen one photographic lineup. But the white female testified in court, do you see the guy that robbed you? She said, no, that's not him. And then DA Hollywood, well, you pick out picture number two? She said, yeah, that's a fair assessment. She said, if I had to pick somebody, it would have been picture number two. That's not that guy right there. But the jury, you know, they came back and asked the question, did Jessica Hand Pacific identify the defendant in the courtroom? And their answer would have been no, but they told me they had to go on their own recollection of what they heard. So, but yeah, they found me guilty. And so then the DA, you know, he questioned my belated mother and my nephew, because I was at the house when they got there that morning. And they accused me of driving a car that hadn't even been bought yet. I have a tag receipt showing when the car was bought. I tried to tell the public defender that, I said, ain't no way I could have been driving that car. That car wasn't even bought when that crime was committed. But don't you drive a Cadillac? Nope. The Cadillac wasn't bought until 2 days after the crime was committed. It wasn't no loan out, wasn't no test drive car. They don't, like I said, no weapon, no camera, no fingerprint. They just sent the photographic lineup to the Care County. They had two different photographic lineup. and picture number two change. But my picture is the darkest one on there, you know, picture number five. And that's what they went off. But like you say, here it is, I got convicted. They sentenced me to life without the possibility of parole. And I've been incarcerated now 20 years. So Miss Keller, she read my transcript and she found a lot of flaws in there. So we're going to try to attempt for extraordinary motion for new trial. And then I had the public defender, his investigator, when she talked to my nephew and my mother, she did not tell them that she know me, that we attend the same church together. And I kept saying, I said, well, Miss Gloria, I said, you can see I'm not dark skinned. I am medium brown. Well, that ain't for me to say, that's for the Jews. But after I done got convicted, she was showing a picture at church. And one of the sisters said, who are that? She said, oh, that's Melvin. And the lady said, can I get a cop? She said, I ain't Melvin. They don't look nothing like Melvin. And I got a copy of the, not a copy of the picture she had, but a copy that came from Fulton County. And I had sent it to her. I said, is this the picture that Gloria said showing? And she hit back and said, no, that ain't the picture she showed me at church. I said, okay. So I've been trying to, you know, get in contact with the public defender. I've been trying to get in contact with Miss Gloria, you know, say, hey, what this picture you showing? I'd like to see that picture. But from my understanding, I heard she don't move back to Alabama. She no longer with the public defender's office. So, like I said, when Meg read it, and I had one of my cousins, she used to be a former Cab County police officer and a sheriff. She read my transcript, and she called my sister. She said, they railroaded your brother. He only ain't supposed to be in there. And I've been sitting here 20 years now. So, like I said, I thank God for Miss L.A. Pink and Meg and my girlfriend, Alethea, and her daughter. They've been doing the footwork for me, trying to get this thing in court, all the documents that they could find and do a lot of work, you know, to get me back, you know, try to get this thing overturned. Because they said, no weapon. And they charged with an armed robbery, no weapon. Now, and that's I end up being in this place now, you know, because it started in Fulton County. But like I say, they found me not guilty over there on that charge they tried to put on me. And I do have that copy, that non-guilty, that verdict. I have that too. You know, Miss Meg, she have all the documents, you know. So I thank her. You know, they said, they told me we're going to get you up out of there because, like I said, it's been 20 years. And within the 20 years, you know, my mom passed, and three brothers on pass back to back, you know. So I'm lost a lot of family members being up in here, you know. So, and I just say, you know, continue to keep trusting in God. I know He will make a way because I've been saying all along, hey, I didn't do this. And I, like I told the public defender, I said, man, you think if I done this, and you go back and check my history, you know, I don't been in here. This is my third downfall being in prison. And I said, everything that I have done, I admit it to it. So you think I'm going to go and commit a robbery, you know, and fight these folks knowing if I was guilty, you know, because I said, I'm thinking you really going to fight for me because you said the state ain't got nothing on you. And he didn't fight for me. During trial, the jury set me handcuffed. They didn't supposed to see that. He didn't, you know, really argue about that. And so the question arose when the victim said she seen two photographic lineup. He said, Your Honor, can you excuse the jury? So when the jury left out, then he going to question her about two photographic lineup. They showed the black female two photographic lineup. They only showed the white female one. And I said, hey, what come about there? Oh, nothing. But he said, you know, when he walked past that DA table, he said, somebody don't fuck up. But I'm thinking, okay, I'd have got a mistrial, but that didn't happen. You know, the trial resumed it. And like I say, they convicted me, found me guilty on it. But like I say, with no forensic evidence, none whatsoever. And it's just time to...
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's time.
And Let me ask you this though, bro, because you know, just listening to it, it's just really what I often wonder sometimes about people, right? It's just like what makes them make the decisions that they make, right? Because even with the jury, like from what you're saying, if they had no, they didn't have you on camera, they didn't have no fingerprints, they didn't have no solid, like literal, like image of who they really was saying did it or didn't do it, light skin, dark skin, you know, all of these different things that's just foul, that just don't make sense in the whole scenario. And people still found a way to find you guilty, right? I mean, you have receipts for the car and all this other stuff. So I often wonder sometimes just about people in general, because even the lady that used to go to your church or whatever, who is not there no more, try to make a mockery out of you, even though that she's in church, right? A church member, right? One place that's supposed to be non-judgmental and understand that people go through trials and tribulations, because, you know, think about different people in the Bible who, you know, even from David, for being accused from something that he didn't do, to getting locked up, to being a dream interpreter, to getting back up off his feet. So, like, you know, it's just so many different things that people have gone through, but yet she still tried to make a mockery of you by passing a picture around about you. Mm-hmm. This is really weird. So that leads me to believe that, you know, it's a really huge purpose for you. Now, I hate the fact that you're going through a 20-year scenario where you're away from your family and you've been able to, you know, have to go through suffering loss by being away and all of those different things. But, yo, something huge is going to come out of this for you, bro.
Now, hey, man.
I don't really know. Like, I could generalize a few things that I feel in my spirit about what may happen for you. But what I want to say, man, is that, you know, people on the outside, it's easy for us to give you words of encouragement, right? To say, yo, bro, just keep your head up, just keep pushing. But what I want to say to you, man, just by listening to your story and being able to see the comparisons of different stories of things, something huge is coming out of this for you, bro. It's not going to replace the things that you've had to lose in order for you to get there. It's just this journey to your purpose, bro, is just one testimony that is going to affect so many different people's lives, man, that it's going to be amazing, bro. You're going to go way past my platform, right? And I mean that in a real positive way. By the time your story really gets to where it's going to be, bro, it's going to go on. So many different people are going to want to hear your story, and it's going to make them want to fight for other people in there who are saying that they are wrongfully convicted.
Right.
And your family, the fact that your family fighting for you, you know what I'm saying? You got a girlfriend and all that out here that's, you know, that's rooting for you and want to see you on this side and all that. That attests to the type of person that you are, because if you wasn't shit, man, nobody would be trying to check for you, bro, and fight for you. And you know what I'm saying? So that shows that you're a great person right there. The fact that you got people who are fighting for you, man, and want to see you with them. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's so true.
So whenever it comes down to this new trial, man, and the things that it need to take in order for you to get a retrial, right? So I know you can't give away but so much, but like what do you need? Like how does it work? Like at what stage of the game are they in that they could do? Because I want people that's watching and stuff to be able to figure out if they is something that they could do, because this can happen to them or a loved one of theirs. So what's really the next Bob for you? Like what you need to go forward?
Well, my thing, what I got what we're fighting now is the extraordinary motion for a new trial. What Meg drawed up, and that Exhibit A is going to be, like I said, the tag receipt. You know, I got a tag receipt showing when that car was purchased. I couldn't have been driving a car that hadn't been purchased yet. It was still sitting on the car lot. We got this. So, you know, like I said, it's called Extraordinary Motion for New Trial. And, you know, we're going to tackle that there. And then some other stuff that she brought up, you know, to, you know, like I say, this is an identification issue, you know.
Yeah, Yeah,
because
facts.
you got two people saying totally two different things, you know. So that should have been a reasonable doubt right there.
Right.
But you know, but the jury, like I say, once they deliberated, you know, but they did ask the question, did Jessica Hand specifically identify the victim in the courtroom? Had they been able to provide that answer, I wouldn't be sitting right here talking to you today, you know. But, you know, they told them they had to go on their own recollection of what they heard. So that's the next step we got. So we're trying to get that done. And then go ahead on expose the court system, you know, try to get a press release, you know, get the news involved, you know, put it out there in the news and let them know what's been going on, you know, because there's been so many people, like you said, been wrongfully convicted, you know. A lot of them been getting out, you know. I know one guy, you know, ran across, he had did 40 years for a rape that he didn't do that happened back in 1970. He did 40 years and he got out about maybe 7 years ago, somewhere like that, right before the COVID hit, I put it that way. And it's another gentleman just got out back here in May. He did 29 years, you know, got his case overturned, you know, so I know it's in the making, you know, like you say. I just had to continue to just keep the faith and be patient, you know. I've been patient like I said, I think, like I said, all those that have been supportive of me, asking questions, though, to still, you know, a little small fee they be, you know, donating because that's to help pay for the legal consultant, you know, and get the paperwork done and, you know, get the ball rolling, you know. So, when I met L.A. Pink, you know, and told her about my situation. And the first thing she said, man, pack your S-H-I-T. You coming out of there. So she introduced me to Miss Mary Keller, you know. So the ball is rolling. So all the things I'm waiting on now is, you know, the paper to come in the mail so I can sign it. And just pray and hope that the court grant it, you know, give me a date to go to court. And they say they ride with me all the way, you know, because we going, you know, it's an act of God, you know, to have them in place like that, you know. So even though it took 20 years, you know, for me to meet them, you know, I always say it's an act of God, you know, everything happened for a reason. So,
yeah, facts.
Just thankful for that day, you know. So I'll be trying to pass the word along to guys that's in here to fight their case. Don't sleep on your case, you know, keep fighting, don't give up.
That's one of the main things too, bro, is to not give up, right? Is to keep fighting, even when it look like you ain't gonna win, right? But you keep fighting. And I feel that, right? Because, you know, even with people who have certain type of dreams and goals in their life, they let all these different things get in the way, right? They let age, time, every little thing that they feel like another person views them is one of the main reasons they use to not keep pursuing what they're supposed to pursue. Not knowing that, like you said, it's God's timing for everything, not our timing. Yeah, some people got out earlier, or some people get to their, you know, their next level a little quicker or earlier, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to get there. Right. It just means that your road to where you're going to go has had to be, you know, you had to be kind of polished a little bit, right? Because for some of us, getting to a certain place too fast, we wouldn't have been probably still alive, or, you know, other things could have happened to us, right? That, you know, things that look bad really be for our good. It's just really hard for you to see that when you win it, right? And then for other people who have the emotion that they have, like they miss you or they know that you've been done wrong and all that, right? That weigh heavy on people, right? Yeah. So it's hard for them to see that, yo, really, this is for my uncle's good, or this is for my family member's good right here, what he's gone through. Because at the end of the day, no, nobody will probably want to trade places, but at the same time, they should understand that even when it comes down to their own life, whenever they go through hard times, that is really meant for their good. If they could just see that good. And hopefully you, bro, like, you get your... Well, now you don't need a pen and pad too much, you know, but get ready for your book, your story. Just get ready for that, man, because faith and resilience is a story that we need so much of. Like, it'll never be enough of that story, faith and resilience. Because that's right. what you had to endure, bro. You've been down 20 years for something you ain't do. Like, come on. Like, look how many of us had to go through things and how we felt about just getting in trouble, like having brothers and sisters, and one of them did something so everybody get whooped. And you're like, damn, come on, yo. Right. Like, why? You know, so it's that type of scenario, man. So, yeah, man, just get ready, bro. Like, and see it. Like, because you're going to be able to, you're going to have to get that out, because that's a story in the making right there, bro. All
right. I sure appreciate you.
Yeah, man. We gotta float you around. I'm going to make sure I float this interview around. I'm going to make sure that, you know, I make little clips and stuff like that to move it around in different groups and different places. And all of your supporters will be able to do the same thing, too. So you can get on other platforms as well, you know.
Right.
And get it and get to it, bro, because the more your story get out, the more it's going to awaken even the brothers around you that may be wrongfully convicted and other places, because some of the conditions that you guys are in while y'all in there is unfavorable too.
Right.
In some of the prisons and jails that you guys are in, and that's another thing, right? But so listen, let's do this real quick, man, because, you know, I know it's not so much that you can say right now because of everything that is in the making, and we don't want, you know, the wrong, you know, the information to get, you know, somebody trying to side block it by hating, and so we can't say but so much, right? That's why I'm making sure I don't ask you certain direct questions about different things, because, you know, knowing Meg and knowing how they get down, I know they're moving every little detail that you need. So I want to make sure that we don't give too much away. But I am thankful for what you did say, because just telling who you are as a person, and I could tell too, man, like just by your conversation that, man, your spirit is amazing, bro. Because you don't have no anger. Like, you're not bitter, you're not, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're even telling your story with grace, and you know, yes. and the fact that you have that faith, like that undenying faith, like, I've been in here 20 years, but I'm coming home. You know, that's amazing to me, bro. I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I feed off my mom faith, you know. You know, she been gone. Just make her year number 15. October be 15 years since she passed, and like I say, she passed while I've been in here, and I just feed off her spirit, you know, and faith that she had, you know, that what, you know, keep me going, and the faith that I have in God, you know.
Yeah, man, you that's official,
right? And I know some good gonna come out of it, you know.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, like, it really already has, because anybody that you get a chance to tell your story to, man, it got to give them some type of a feeling of hope, right? A faith, because like I said, you're not bitter, right? Like, you could be really bitter. Like, you could be angry. You could have a certain type of aggression even in your conversation about it, because, you know, it's foul. Like, yo, y'all sit up here and said this about me, and y'all ain't even have, y'all see all the facts. The facts ain't even there. Y'all don't have no evidence, and y'all just, you know, y'all just sitting up here talking about I did this and I didn't. So, like, it's a lot of energy that could come behind that, and you're not that. So, man, yeah, right. If somebody don't listen to you or don't hear your story and don't feel, like, some type of sense of positivity, or even though you're not in a positive situation, yo, if I don't get that from you, bro, it's just staying in a really dark space. You know what I mean? Because you're already helping people, bro. But you helping me, I know that. You know what I'm saying?
that's a blessing. I appreciate that, man. You know, because, you know, like I said, I got a story to tell, you know, and like the old saying said, no test, no testimony, you know, so. I've been, you know, like I say, had to, you know, encourage myself at times, you know. And yes, it ain't been easy. Sometimes it get frustrating, but I don't let that get me down, you know, because I know that everything gonna work out for the best, you know.
Yeah, facts, so, man. And when you do come home, man, you know, because it's gonna be soon, bro. I wanna, hopefully, you know, I know they'll keep me in the loop, man, so I could pull up. right? And meet you in person. Most definitely. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it. I thank Meg for getting me on your podcast, and I appreciate every little thing she's doing and things, and she's doing it from the heart and the love of God that she has, and she come, like say, it could be cost me plenty of pennies, but she doing it at a cheap rate, and I really appreciate that.
You know? Yeah, man, Meg is dope, and all of them, LA Pink, I've had them all on the show. I mean, yeah. I've had so many people that they're working with on the platform, you know, because that's what I feel like, you know, that's my calling, right? Like, whenever people find their purpose, I found mine, and my purpose is to allow people to, you know, be a voice for those people. In this whole content creation space now that we have, man, you know, there's so many people that get to a place quicker because they allow just things that people, you know, randomly like to hear, like celebrity gossip, news, you know, all that other stuff is what people, you know, it makes their stuff popular. But for me, you know, I go through it with my guests because, like, yo, if I have a certain guest on here, sometimes they call out people names and different things like that. So my content gets flagged, right? I get suppressed. I get shadow banned, you know, because I actually am going through it with my guests. And I think a lot of times they don't realize that either, like whenever they say things. And it's like, for me, I have to have that type of, you know, mentality, like, yo, I'm not going to ever govern what people want to come on here and talk about when it comes down to their story. So I'll just have to take that with my guests. And I do, bro. Like, I take it. Like, you know, some of my content got a whole bunch of views, and then some of them they don't because of what is being said. And I get it. It take work. So even after that, I keep making sure I market and I promote my guests and their show, you know, and what their story is even after that, because, you know, that's the way they're going to have to get their story out is through social media. And that's where I come in at. And that's why I help at. So I keep it going, bro. So even after our conversation tonight, you know, for the rest of the year, you know, different parts of our conversation is going to come up in people's algorithm because of the way that I move the platform around. So, you know, I always want to encourage my guests to let them know, like, yo, I may not be the biggest platform at the moment, right? We are on that route, but I may not be. But just know that I do the work like one for you, you know what I'm saying? And make sure that I move your joint around. So don't worry, you're going to get this story going to move around even after our conversation tonight.
Yeah, and I definitely appreciate it, you know, and like I say, I know some good going to come out of it. And like I say, I give all thanks, like I say, to Miss L.A. Pink and Meg, you know, and all my supporters as well, you know.
So. Yeah, man. Yeah, and that's fly, bro. And like I said, you know, we're going to keep up with your story. Like as things progress, we want to make sure that we keep up with certain things that could be told and things that don't need to be said until it's time, you know. We're going to make sure we cover that too. But yeah, man, for the most part, bro, if you got anything else you want to let the people know, man, listen, you can let them know. I'm open, just, you know, because I just want to make sure that we don't give too much away. You get what I'm saying? Right. Because you're in the midst of things. Like, you know, when I talk to Meg and I looked at certain things, it's like, yo, y'all are in the mix of things. So we don't want them to use anything, like, even tonight's conversation against you. So, you know. But if there's anything else you want your supporters to know.
Yeah, I just want to let them know that I really appreciate them and those have been with me down through the years. And much love go out to you. And those that are listening, you know, you have a loved one that's in this situation, you know, give them that support, the mutual support. It ain't always got to be about finance, but give them that support. Let them know you're there for them, you know, because everybody in prison ain't bad, you know. There's some good peoples in here, you know, brilliant people, I'd say, you know, that think, you know, and want to do right. They realize they mistake, but you know, don't give up on them. That's the main thing I want to say. Don't give up. And to an individual that is incarcerated, don't give up. Keep fighting.
Facts. And that's one of the messages that I think all of us need to kind of take heed to, right? Like, keep pushing, keep fighting, and don't give up. right? And then, you know, I guess the main thing is to keep your faith, right? You got to have your faith because if you don't believe, nobody else going to believe, for real.
That's right. You got to believe in yourself first, you know? So I've been, like I said, I've been singing this same song for, you know, 20 years, you know, hey, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to sleep on my time, you know? And I know sometimes you got to have the help, and if you don't have the finance, you know, sometimes you find yourself stuck in a situation, but I truly believe that, you know, you meet the right people at the right time, and God put people in your lives for a reason. Y'all crawl paths for a reason, and you never know. So I'm thankful for that day, you know.
Yeah, facts. And that's one of those opportunities that I feel like all of us need to be thankful for when we do get that, right? Like, because, you know, you never know when something, like when you will go through this or somebody you know of going through this. So you said the main thing earlier that I hope that everybody that's watching tonight and everybody that watches the playback, you know, I hope they really get that part, is that, you know, no matter what you've gone through, you still believe that things are going to work out for you. Because it all starts with the way we think. I think everything in life starts with the way we think, yo.
That's right. So I say this too, right? If you continue to feed your faith, doubt won't go hungry.
Mm. All right. That's a bar. That's a bar right there, bro. But look, man, this is what we're going to do, man. I want to thank you, bro. I want to thank you for coming on the platform and sharing your story. I want to, you know, thank you for being brave and doing that. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, we wait the request for you not to be on camera because, you know, like I said, we don't want them to use anything that they can to stop you from getting closer to your destination, which is coming home. You know what I'm saying? So to all of y'all that's watching tonight, that's the main reason why I wasn't on camera. We wanted to make sure that, you know, because of where he is, we want to make sure that, you know, we keep everything the way it needs to be. Right. So the audio is the most important part. The story is the most important part. And I hope all of y'all that's watching tonight, just think about this for just a second. Like, yo, you know, there's a way that people are meant to look. Right. And there's a way that we know the media and everything else has a way of making us look. We just got to have a little bit more, you know, empathy for those of us that look like us, right? Because listen, y'all, everybody that is in a bad situation is not there because they did a bad thing. Sometimes it's just their purpose or their journey. And in that, you got to realize that, you know, that's when we all need each other the most. And I think a lot of times, all of his supporters and his family members, this is another thing for them too, that of how their blessings is coming through too, by continuously supporting their family member that's in a position that they know that he is wrongfully put in. And that's another thing, when people could stand on your character and stand on who you are as a person and be willing to fight and walk with you. That's fly. You know what I'm saying? So all of y'all out there, thank y'all again for watching. Make sure that y'all stay connected to us each and every week, because even when I don't got guests, I try to give y'all that information. But we're keeping some of the world's most interesting people in their face, and we're getting these stories out. So Mel, before we go, anything you want to tell the people? Any last words? Anything you want to say to the people?
Yes, I'd like to say, I really thank them all, you know, so... It's ain't no sense of, you know, doing a name call. I just like to say thank you, everybody that's been there for me, been very supportive. You know who you are, and continue to let the Lord use you. Stay focused and, you know, keep me encouraged as I encourage you, because I be encouraging people even from my standpoint. And and I just really appreciate it. And like I say, with Miss L.A. Pink and Meg, I talk with her frequently, and L.A. Pink, you know, I might, you know, send a shout out to her, you know, but I want to thank them because, like I say, they don't got me this far. Through them, I was able to be on here with you tonight, you know, through Meg. So I want to thank her, you know, for her unyielding support, encouragement, and inspiration, you know. So, and like I say, y'all just keep your head up, stay focused, and keep believing. You know.
Right, right.
All things work together.
That's facts. Mm-hmm. Right there,
thank you.
So, no doubt. So with that being said, each and every one of y'all, we definitely appreciate y'all, each and every one of y'all for jumping on. We appreciate all the comments tonight. And we definitely hope that all of y'all that's watching and those of y'all that are watching the playback, y'all give Brother Melvin Alvin a shout out. Alan a shout out. Y'all will see he's on Facebook. Y'all go to his page. Y'all give him a shout out. Let him know that y'all watch tonight or whatever. Just keep him encouraged. Send him encouraging messages and because he's coming home, y'all. Right? So we want to make sure we put that in the atmosphere. And until next week, y'all know what to do. If you do not believe in yourself, nobody else will. So I want y'all to stay connected and school out. And I'll see you next week. Your boy Ryan, and we're signing off. Peace.
Peace out.